Lamentations chapter number 3, and we've been doing a series on remembering. We started on Memorial Day, and we were reminded that we as a nation set aside certain days of the year for the purpose of reminding of things that we as humans would forget. We are forgetful people. We forget the loyalty, we forget the sacrifice of others. And we are a forgetful people. We forget the goodness of God. We forget what God has done in our nation. And so it's important that we take time. God often would do that throughout Israel and throughout his people. For instance, those stones that were set up to remind them of God bringing them across the Jordan, and also a reminder even back of crossing that Red Sea, that God had done these miracles. And God does things to remind people. We're reminded in the New Testament. We're told to remember the sacrifice of Christ through ordinances such as baptism, where we identify with his death, burial, and resurrection. And then the Lord's table, where he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." Why? Because we're forgetful. Because if we did not remind ourselves on purpose to remember Christ, we would just become a country club where we just gather together because we like fellowship. No, we are to remind ourselves over and over again. And so there's a story told of a college dorm student who, while asleep, his friends smeared Limburger cheese upon his mustache. He woke up, and Limburger cheese is a very smelly cheese. I mean, it smells awful. He woke up, and he got out of his bed, and he walked into the dormitory, and as he walked by one person, he went, "Man, you need to take a bath. You stink." And he walked by another person and said, "Man, you stink." And he walked by person upon person and said, "You stink, you smell bad." And he didn't realize all along it was that cheese smeared on his mustache. It was really himself that stunk. And you know, I think that's how some people are. They think everybody else stinks, but they don't realize that the problem is in them. Sometimes as Christians, we fail to remember the many blessings of God. Yet in reality, we serve a very faithful God. So on Memorial Day, I started the series on remembering. I believe our nation's forgotten many things that our founders believed in. So far, we've been reminded in this series of our foundation in Christ. We've been reminded of our first love. We've been reminded of God's purpose in trials. And today, I just want to simply remind us that no matter what we face in this world, our God is faithful. We serve a faithful God. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, the Bible says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Father, we thank you for your scripture today, Lord, the portion that we're looking at today. Father, we just pray that you would illuminate truth to us, Father. We pray that you would work by your Spirit in our hearts and our lives this morning, Lord, that we might see you and we might see your faithfulness, and that our hearts would respond with rejoice, Father, and that we would allow you to work a work in our hearts that would conform us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 105, verse 5, the Bible says, "Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth." Remember. Psalm 77, verses 11 through 12 says, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also on of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Now, whenever you see someone who's always complaining about this person or that person, or complaining about this church or that church, complaining about their family or their work or whatever else they may be complaining about, it's usually a sign that you haven't taken time to remember the wonderful works of God. So today we're going to look at three areas, and certainly we could look at many, many more. But we're going to focus on three areas of God's faithfulness. I want you to notice this morning that we have a God who is faithful to forget. He is faithful to forget. Hebrews 8:12, this is God speaking. He says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." I will forget your sins. I will forget your iniquities. How many here today are glad that the moment that you were saved, that God says he blotted out your sins and he remembers it no more? How many would say amen to that? I am so glad that God has been merciful and forgiving and forgetting. Oh, there's so many things in my life I wish I could forget. But I am so thankful that he has. I am so thankful that he has. It's not like the man and woman who are going through a difficult time in their marriage. And the man said, "Whenever things get tough, my wife gets historical." He didn't say hysterical, he said historical. She brings up all my history. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that? God is faithful to forget. By his mercy, we are sustained. In verse number 22, the Bible says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." Folks, that is true. How many would say amen to that? Amen. That God is merciful and we should be consumed because his compassions fail not. God is saying that the fact that we are still here is because of his mercy. Yes. How many in doing this can feel your pulse? That's God's mercy. That is God's mercy that you're feeling today. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." He said, if I change my mind on things, if I was like man, if I was like you, every time you messed up, I'd wipe you out. But because I don't change, because I am faithful, you're not consumed. Mercy is withholding punishment or something bad from somebody who deserves it. Every person here today needs God's mercy. God's mercy especially rests upon his people. You know, if I got what I deserved, it would be a one-way ticket straight for hell. It wouldn't be that I would be going to hell. It would be that I would be there already. I would be there already because of God's immutable character. His mercy keeps us from being consumed. Psalm 86:15, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." Psalm 30, verse 5, the Bible says, "For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning." Psalm chapter 106, verse 43 through 45, the Bible says, "Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. And he remembered them he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies." That's huge. God many times, and you know the story of Israel. Israel had more dark days than they had good days. They had more wicked days than they had righteous days. They defied God in every single way they could defy him. I mean, they were just horrible to him. But every time when they called out to him, every time when they turned to him, he didn't remember their iniquity. He remembered his covenant with them. He remembered his mercy for them. I heard of a mother who approached Napoleon, and she was seeking a pardon for her son. The emperor replied that the young man had committed a certain offense twice, and that justice demanded death. But I don't seek justice, the mother replied. She said, I plead for mercy. Which Napoleon said, but your son does not deserve mercy. And she replied to him, sir, it would not be mercy if he deserved it. It would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for. Well, then, the emperor said, I will have mercy, and he spared her son. Folks, if we deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy. If we earn it, people say, I've done wrong and I've done bad. Now, if I could only do good enough, maybe God will be merciful for me. If doing good enough could earn mercy, it would not be mercy. We just have a merciful God. We just have a merciful God. I want to notice, not only by his mercy we're sustained, but by his mercy we are supplied. Look at verse 23. The Bible says, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. How many here have been saved for more than, say, 25 years? Okay. Wonderful. I've got good news for you. God didn't simply say that he has enough mercy for your early years. No. He said he has enough mercy for every single day of your life. And if we're honest, we need more and more of it as we go along, don't we? He supplies our needs. His compassions fail not, according to Lamentations 3:22. The word fail means to be exhausted, to come to an end. His compassions don't get exhausted. You ever show compassion to somebody and they took advantage of your compassion over and over again? And finally it got exhausting to be compassionate to them? It got old real quick. God says, my compassions don't get exhausted. My compassions don't end. I just continue to give compassion over and over again. They fail not. Notice further in verse 23 where he says, great is thy faithfulness. Everything about our God speaks of his faithfulness to us. He will supply completely. Philippians 4:19. The Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. One of the main purposes Paul wrote the book of Philippians was to thank them for the offerings they sent to financially support him as a missionary. That's one of the reasons he wrote the book of Philippians. So let me say this. This promise, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's speaking to people that were financially supporting him through difficulty. Can I say that's not a promise anybody can just claim? You study out God's word, many of his promises are determined by our actions. He says, my God shall supply all your need. Whose need? The church at Philippi. Why? Because they were supplying his needs. See there? So you say, well, you know, I'm not going to tithe, I'm not going to give, I'm not going to be generous, I'm not going to any of that with my money, but I'm going to claim my God shall supply all your needs. No, you can't. You can't claim that. That was given to Philippi after Paul thanked him for being a church that would send offerings and meet his needs. By the way, every church that's involved in missions and every member that's involved in giving can claim this verse. Remember this tonight when we vote for Kevin and Stacy Berg to take them on for support. I hope you remember this. Because as we take care of God's people being sent out to do God's work, God will supply our needs. God will take care of us as a church. And so he will supply completely. He will supply continuously. Psalm 37, verse 25 and 26 says, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. I've been young and now I'm old. How many could claim that as your life verse right there? I was young, but now I'm old. But it goes on. He says, I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging for bread. He is merciful. He lendeth. His seed is blessed. The testimony our older people have of God's provision is a tribute to his continuous mercy. his continuous mercy. So he will supply completely. He will supply continuously. He will supply strength. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Aren't you glad that God is faithful to forget our sins? Amen. Aren't you glad that even though we're sinners, even though we deserve hell, that God is merciful and God is gracious and God is faithful, and he will even supply completely. He will even supply continuously, and he will even give us his strength as he supplies. Not focusing on our sins when we confess them to him, but focusing on his mercy and on his goodness to us. God is faithful to forget. And then God is faithful to feed. God is faithful to feed. When we are saved, we're like babes. And he feeds us through his word. He desires us to be spiritually healthy. God is often like a parent who tries to get their stubborn child to eat because that child needs to grow. And eating helps that. You ever do this as parents? You ever try to get your kids to eat dinner and they are stubborn? And they look at it and they pick it up and put it down. And they give you that look like, you're not going to get me to eat this. And then you discover the reason why, because you look over and you see an empty bag of M&Ms. And you realize, that's why you're not eating that. You've been spoiled on your food. You've already filled yourself with junk, and now you won't eat what's good for you. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 12, wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile, all hypocrisy and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. This is what he says. He says, you're like a baby. You're like a small child. You need to quit filling up on malice and on guile and on hypocrisy and on envies and on evil speakings. Quit filling up on junk and start desiring the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. He is faithful to feed us. You know, his word nourishes us. Jeremiah 15, 16, the Bible says, thy words are found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. His word nourishes us. His word furnishes us. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, the Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What does that mean? Doctrine is what is right. Reproof is what is wrong. Correction is how to get from wrong to right. Instruction in righteousness is how to stay right. All those things God offers in his word, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thoroughly furnished. An elderly preacher was rebuked by one of his deacons one Sunday morning before the service. Pastor, said the man, something must be wrong with your preaching and your work. There's only been one person added to the church in a whole year, and he's just a little boy. The minister listened, and he was discouraged, and his eyes moistening, and his thin hand trembling, said, I feel it all. But God knows I've tried to do my duty. On that day, the minister's heart was heavy as he stood before his flock. As he finished the message, he felt a strong inclination to resign. After everyone else had left, that one boy came to him and asked, do you think if I worked hard for an education that I could be a preacher like you, or perhaps a missionary? Again, tears welled up in the minister's eyes. Ah, this heals the ache I feel, he said. Robert, I see the divine hand on you now, and may God bless you, my boy. Yes, I think you will become a preacher. Many years later, an aged missionary returned to London from Africa. His name was spoken with reverence. Nobles invited him to their house. He had added many souls to the Church of Jesus Christ, reaching even some of Africa's most savage chiefs. His name was Robert Moffat, one of the greatest missionaries who ever lived. The same Robert who years before had spoken to the pastor that Sunday morning in an old Scottish church, "Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to be faithful because God is faithful." He felt like a failure. He felt like he had poured his heart out and God wasn't blessing. And all along, God used this pastor who nobody even knows who he is to bring about Robert Moffat, who one deacon said was just one boy and didn't really mean anything, and changed all of Africa because of it. Give us a grace to leave the results to God. Give us the grace to leave the results to God. We are so much in a result-oriented day and age, in a success-oriented day and age. We're in such a day and age where this church is competing with this church to be bigger and to be better and to be fancier and all of that. And it's one big competition. Let me tell you, we just need to trust that God is faithful and leave the results to Him. Leave it to Him. His Word nourishes us. His Word furnishes us. And His Word encourages us. Timothy Dwight said this. He said, "The Bible is a window in this prison world through which we may look into eternity." 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the Bible says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." The Word of God encourages us. It is that window that Timothy Dwight talked about. In this dark world where we can see eternity. We can see God's goodness. We can see God's blessing. The carnal man gets real excited about the things of this world. I mean, he gets real excited about whatever's going on in the life of the Kardashians, for goodness sake. But the carnal man never gets excited about the truths of the Word of God. They never get excited about the truths of the Word of God. But once you come to know Christ as your Savior, it is then that you realize that the Bible nourishes you. The Bible furnishes you. The Bible encourages you. And that, my friends, is something worth getting excited about. I want to notice, thirdly, not only is He faithful to forget, and I am so glad about that. Not only is He faithful to feed. You say, "Pastor, I'm not getting fed." Pick up a fork. Look at the plate that God has set out before you and dig in. It is full of food. It is full of nourishment. But not only is He faithful to feed us, He is faithful to forgive. His faithfulness is also seen in His forgiveness. Psalm 103 verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." One preacher figured out years ago, the east from west is better than north from south. See, you could continue to go north and eventually you'd be going south. But if you went west, you'd never be going east. If you went east, you'd never be going west. You could walk all the way around the world and you'd still be going east or west. That's how much God has forgiven us. That's how much God has removed our transgression. We could go and go and go and go and go and around the world over and over again, and we'd never find it. Blessed, Psalm 32:1-2, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." I want to notice that we are forgiven through His blood. Ephesians 1:7, the Bible says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." It is by the blood that was shed that our sin was atoned. You know the song, "What Can Wash Away My Sins? Nothing But the Blood of Jesus." Why don't I sing the first part, you sing the second part, okay? "What can wash away my sins?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole again?
Nothing but the blood of Jesus."
Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus today? The baptistry can't wash away my sins. Church membership can't wash away my sins. A good deeds can't wash away my sins. You see, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. We are forgiven through his blood. We are forgiven for his sake. 1 John 2:12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. God didn't just forgive us for our sake. He also forgave our sins for his name's sake. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Even as Christ forgave you, we are forgiven for his sake. We are forgiven for our unrighteousness. Romans 5:8 through 9, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. 1 John 1:9 through 10, if we confess our sins, he is, what's the next word? Faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Titus 3:7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. God is faithful to forget. God is faithful to feed us. God is faithful to forgive us. Not far from New York City, there is a cemetery. And in that cemetery, there's a grave that has inscribed upon its headstone just one word. There's no name. There's no date. There's no date of birth. There's no date of death. No other information. Just one word. The stone is undecorated by the sculptor's art. It's very rustic looking. There's no epitaph or eulogy. It's just one word. You say, what's the word, Pastor? It is the word forgiven. It is the word forgiven. But that is the greatest thing that can ever be said of any man or woman written on any grave, is that they are forgiven. Let me say in closing that there is only one person who can write that word for us. There is only one who has the power to forgive, and the Bible tells us that he is faithful to forgive us. Romans 4:7 through 8, the Bible says, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Only God can do that. If we as a church are going to have an impact that will truly make, as the slogan out now is, America great again. By the way, that's not the responsibility of our politicians. That's the responsibility of the church. There are some things we need to remember. Some of us need to wipe that Limburger cheese off our face and realize that that everything and everyone doesn't stink when you have a God who's faithful. And when you have a God who's faithful, let's remember the faithfulness of our God. Father, we do thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you for your word. And Father, thank you for the great truths that we learn that better us as servants of Christ. And Father, I pray now that, Lord, if there's any here today that does not know you as their personal Savior, that today they would trust in you. Work upon their heart. Convict their heart of their need of a Savior, Lord. And Father, we do pray this in Jesus' name.